Saturday, February the 28th. Damn. Just realized it's the last day of the month. 2015. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and unexpected Ghostbusters references. I'm Morps, and tonight I have with me both the BSV. Where's the button?
I appreciate the proper introduction.
Well, it's so rare these days. And where is it? Where is it? Fuck. I didn't plan this very well. And the RU-46.
No, 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 Sard.
Nice.
So, gentlemen, tonight I'm drinking Angel's Envy. It's a Kentucky straight bourbon. I got a little sampler bottle of it when I was picking up some of my more regular stuff. And the guy told me it compared to Woodford's. I'm not sure it's quite that good, but it is decent. So, be polishing that off tonight. And actually, I started polishing off that bottle a little bit earlier today. But I've got about a shot and a half left, so it's something for the show, right? Are you?
Yo.
What do you got?
I did have a bit for this, but then I just decided it wasn't funny anymore. So, because I actually did work on this intro bit this morning while I was hanging the washing out, and I came up with this really funny thing about mainlining salad dressing while being sprayed in the face with bear mace while furiously beating it to My Little Pony porn. But yeah, I just couldn't fit it all together. So fuck it, I'm drinking water.
Well, the pony porn does kind of stretch credulity. I said that word wrong, and I don't really care.
Either way, I fumbled it too, so fuck it. Well, moving right along. Yeah. Hey, I said fuck. Screw you, FCC.
Yeah.
You can't say fuck on the internet anymore.
There's that. That's obviously going to be the discussion topic for tonight. Yeah. BSV, what are you drinking?
I'll give you one guess.
Well, it couldn't be Angry Orchard.
So how did you know?
Because the camera above you shows it.
Oh, those are FCC approved now. It's okay.
I like the toilet cam.
I thought that you probably want. You told me that broke. I haven't checked on it in a while.
You probably won't have liked Taco Tuesday then.
I've got balls of steel.
And that's how you know if it's a terrorist.
All right. Well, that's enough goofing around at the soundboard. So a little bit of station news. I've been working on a project today. You know, it's only 3 months behind, but all the back catalog of Pure Decking shows that had not been published are now published. But they're not published on the main site. The main site is going away. It's running an old WordPress install. I'm tired of maintaining WordPress. So I'm going with something different. And I've been building the new web page. If anybody wants to see it, you can currently see it at beta.galaxy15radio.com. It's a simpler page, a little leaner. You know, of course, we still have the stream launcher and links to the latest decking. We'll be getting links to other shows on the Galaxy 15 stream as I get more along with this project. And once I'm satisfied that we've got everything in the beta done, I'll flip that over and make that the main site. But as a nice side effect, all the Pure Deckings that hadn't been uploaded are now uploaded. And if you go on the beta site to shows decking, you can get to the podcast back end and get all the archives.
Dude, you're pretty ballsy, man, doing your big dump of shows right next to a House of Cards, man, to try and take... That's ballsy. Going up against House of Cards? Nice.
I have delusions of grandeur. We all know this.
Now, Merps, just remember to not to talk at the camera.
Well, considering that camera toilet has electrical tape over it... But I don't quite do as good a southern drawl as somebody else there, so I can. Although I do have a natural one. So...
Keep it repressed. Keep it repressed.
All right. Let's all bitch about the FCC. Obviously, I've got the NPR link. The Federal Communications Commission approved the policy known as net neutrality by a 3-2 vote at its Thursday meeting with the FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler, saying the policy will ensure that no one, whether government or corporate, should control free open access to the Internet. I believe that, the Open Internet Order helps to decide an essential question about how the Internet works regarding service providers being a neutral gateway instead of handling different types of Internet traffic in different ways and at different costs. This is a red letter day, Wheeler said Thursday. The dissenting votes came from Michael O'Reilly and Ajit Pai, Republicans who warned that the FCC was overstepping its authority and interfering in commerce to solve a problem that doesn't really exist. They also complained that the measure's 300-plus pages weren't released publicly or openly debated. The new policy would replace a prior version adopted in 2010, but that was put on hold following a legal challenge by Verizon. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled last year that the FCC did not have sufficient regulatory power over broadband. I guess to clarify, the Verizon case, the court said that the FCC didn't actually have authority from Congress to regulate broadband access the way it was currently classified. So the FCC has reclassified broadband as Title II, and it's supposed to be a limited Title II, which means they're considered a public utility, not a what's called a tier, a Title I or premier data service, which means the government, if this is what isn't actually been written, has said that internet is a public utility, not a luxury service, so to speak. So it's interesting, but here's my real problem. They still, that was Thursday they passed it. They still have not released the 300-page document detailing the rules change.
The best I could find is a 6-dot point. The main changes for broadband providers are, and then 6-dot points, and that's it. That's the best I could get, man. I was hoping to go, wow, I got it, Melps, I got it for you. Look, let's spend the next hour going over 600 pages of fine legal bullshit, but I couldn't find it.
That's the thing, because everybody, you saw all the news sites, all the social networks, Reddit, 4chan, everybody blowing up over how freaking wonderful it is that the government has decided they have the right to regulate the internet. And people get really angry with me when I phrase it like that. That's really what it is.
Not wrong, man.
Yeah, I mean, that is, our government has decided they have the right to regulate the internet. So now they're currently, and the ruling might actually be a good thing for internet. I don't know. That's the problem. They haven't published the document. I don't actually know what the rules are. I actually got into a really heated conversation with a network engineer I work with, because he was going on about how wonderful it was, and it's like, but do we actually know what it's going to do? I mean, there's a lot of requirements with Title II. Oh, no, they're only requiring part of that. Well, how do we know that? Well, that's what they said. Right, but where's the document? So here's the thing. The FCC actually put out a statement yesterday saying they're ready for lawsuits and complaints regarding, tiering and things based on this FCC ruling. But they still haven't published the document about what the ruling is.
An American government agency is ready and open for business? That's... No.
You see why I have issues?
Yeah. Because all I'm visioning is a bunch of social justice fuckwits demanding 4chan be shut down and not understanding the rules.
Well, all the provisions say legal content. So if they get it defined as hate speech is not legal, and therefore ISPs can be ordered to block it. ISPs can block it if it's determined to be illegal content. Every rule says that, is that ruling lawful content or legal content in the line, at least that I've seen published.
Watch me do a Kickstarter to actually fight that in your federal court system. I'm pretty sure we could get enough money.
Well, I'm not sure about that because I don't know enough people actually understand what my concerns here are, because so many people have bought in to the whole, oh, net neutrality is important. But you have to wonder about any government ruling where Netflix and Google are portrayed as the little guys and the victims.
Yeah.
So it might be a good thing. It really might be a good thing. I don't know. They haven't published the damned document. So yeah, I'm going to sit here and keep whinging on this.
Usually, if it's a good thing, they don't conceal what they ruled on while they prepare for legal suits.
I mean, that's, yeah. And in fact, one of the people who voted against it, that was why they voted against it. It's like, we haven't published the document. We haven't had any public discourse over the actual rules changes. So, the Anju person, that was, where was their statement? Thursday's vote comes after Commissioners Michael O'Reilly and Andrew Pai, as said the FCC immediately released a 332-page internet regulation plan publicly, and then allow the American people a reasonable period of not less than 30 days to carefully study it. That request was denied. And the NPR article says they'll publish the document, or they'll post the document here when it's available. Well, that was, I was running behind on the show notes today, so that was an hour ago when I checked it. They still had not published it, and I highly doubt they're going to publish it on a Saturday afternoon.
They'll publish it at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
That's probably true. And then expect people to be reacting to it, you know, Monday morning.
They'll immediately make changes to it Monday morning at 2 a.m. Generally the Australian government rulebook.
Well, you're waking up to a whole new government every other day. So
next week, man, we should wake up to a whole new government.
Well, you see, what they plan on doing is probably release it in chunks and just keep adding to it as they see fit. Oh, we haven't finished releasing that. Here's the other 30 pages that we didn't just add.
It sort of just contradicts the other 60 pages we released pre.
You know, the fact that the FCC can pass these regulations without publishing what they just passed, I mean, you would think at least at the time of vote that the thing would be required to be published, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they can do that bothers me. The fact that everyone thinks it's so wonderful that the FCC is stepping in to regulate the internet clearly has no idea how government regulation works.
I just find it ridiculous. Kurt said the FCC has no regulation power over it, so they changed the classification of it with the organization that shouldn't have power over it.
Well, because they had ISPs classified as Title I, but.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely certain whether that was a change they could make internally or if it was a change Congress should have made. I kind of wonder if that's something where it should have required a bill from Congress to give them that authority or if this was just a power grab. But let's be really real here. The FCC has said they now have the right to regulate ISPs.
Yeah.
Now, you know, whether or not they run it like saints, and to be fair, I'm not certain that they could do a worse job than Comcast. But, you know, they have said they have this right, which means every time we get a new government, we might potentially be looking at a new set of ISP requirements. So if we get, you know, just to pick on both the political parties here, if the Republicans get a president in office in the next round of elections, because they already have both houses of, or they have the Congress and the Senate, then you could see them passing things saying, oh, well, the FCC has the right to regulate the internet. Cool. We want them to keep all logs for 2 years. You know, kind of shit, right?
Yep.
We can require that now under the FCC. Or if the Democrats take over the government again, come in and say, oh, yeah, about that, all those climate deniers, yeah, we're just going to ask the ISPs to block their web pages because we don't agree with them. I'm kind of picking extremes, right? But you know, when you're talking about government interference and regulation, the extremes are pretty much the argument cases you have to look at, because like, okay, as structured, they could do this, right? What's stopping them from doing this? Oh, common sense. Well, this is the government we're talking about here. That doesn't really apply. So, I mean,
people with agendas that don't generally last more than 4 years in public office shouldn't be allowed to change rules like that.
So, I mean, I'm not talking about changes happening tomorrow, right? This might be 10 years down the road.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, thanks to this ruling, the internet 10 years from now is definitely going to look different. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, well, I have my suspicions, but...
Well, dude, the internet looked different 10 years ago.
True. That's a fair statement. But,
and it's going to look different 10 years from now. Hardware is going to change. Public perception of things are going to change. Politics is going to change. It's never going to... This is the last thing ever that's going to stagnate.
I don't disagree with you there. I'm just thinking...
Don't get me wrong.
Treated.
It'll become a cesspool. But it's not going to stagnate.
So, you know, speaking of the internet looking different over time... when I was doing some of the work on the beta page, I was digging through the old my old show notes and the WordPress install, trying to figure out how hard it was going to be to get some of the old content out of WordPress so I could actually shut the WordPress install down, because I don't have the story about it, but apparently there's another WordPress plugin with a really nasty vulnerability. SlimStats, I think it was, but that's one of the reasons I want to get away from it on our pages. It's just a, you know, cesspool for people taking over shit. Now I just don't want to deal with it anymore, truthfully. But the it just makes me realize I've been doing pure decking for 4 years now. Fuck. Like, shouldn't I have gotten tired and quit this thing by now?
Crazy.
Although, hell, imagine if IHM was still going.
Yeah, dude, no.
Yeah, we all know how that conversation...
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
It's only... it's probably like 5 minutes a month of, should I do that again? You know, cat sitting at table reading paper JPEG. You know, fucking, should I start that show again? Fuck it, no.
You know, just every time that conversation...
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
Well, I need to check the broadcast box. I'm not sure that's coming too clear.
With all the regulations and that, ISPs have been put on in this country already. It probably had its time and ran the only time in history it could have run. And that was it. So... No, I can't see it ever coming back.
Sad day. Anyways, so.
Politicians aren't really up for being ripped on anymore or satired. And with the social justice warrior movement as it is, yeah, no, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well that stuff could survive today. That's sad, you know? I mean, the internet used to be the last bastion of free speech, and now it's like, oh, I can't say that.
Yeah.
Now you have to hide in the internet even more.
Well, we've always kind of hid.
Well, yeah, but...
I mean, I'm not using my real name. I'm not having you guys call me John on the show, am I?
Don't worry, Bill. We'll never tell him your real name.
That's a good thing. Thanks, Dave.
No worries. Just keeping it real, Steve. And you know the worst part about it? I probably could have said your name then because I don't know your first name. was like, oh fuck, I could. I don't know if I said.
It's. Oh come on, we all know it's John Doe. Now come on.
I thought it was Jim Bob.
What's that, Ted Leszczynski?
Wait a minute.
Speaking of anonymous.
Hello. Oh. Go ahead.
There are a lot of things that have come and gone on the internet, man, over the last, you know, couple of years that we'll never ever see anything like it again. And the one thing I'm looking forward to just really fucking off really soon would be the commenters like, what's that, Tweety Pie or whatever the fuck his name is?
Oh, PewDiePie.
PewDiePie, yeah, that kind of shit, man. I found out that guy makes $4 million a year.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money in YouTube ads. I don't know that it's $4 million, but he had the number one channel for a while.
Why is no one catching him for ripping off other people's content?
I think it's a case of nobody cares.
Oh, okay. Well, he can suck a big bag of dicks anyway. That whole fucking commenting on people's Let's Plays is just fucking retarded. Either make a Let's Play or fucking nothing. Go away.
Well, he used to make his own Let's Plays. Does he not do that anymore?
I've never actually looked
at his channel.
I've never really looked at it either.
Once to see what it was.
Yeah, after that South Park episode, I was reading an article in.
I tell a lie. I did watch an entire PewDiePie video. He was reading.
How high were you?
Pretty drunk actually, but. It was hilarious. It was one of those things where you started watching it just to see what it was and then kept watching it because you couldn't believe that that's what you were hearing. He was reading Frozen slash fiction, and they had animated it with Steam. What's the thing in Half-Life?
Gary's Mod?
Gary's Mod. That's it. Yeah, they had animated it in Gary's Mod, and it was just one of those things where it's like, you just can't look away from this. It's like, what the hell is this? It's like, how is this allowed?
It's like, oh my god, that woman's being raped. Oh my
god, somebody call
the
FCC.
First rape I'm seeing.
But so now he does commentary on other people's Let's Plays?
From the article I was reading, that's what I thought it was alluding to. The why he wasn't being called out for using other people's content. So, I don't know. Feel free to correct me, internet, if I'm wrong. Watch all the cutie, whatever faggy pie thing fucking supporters come out. What, did he have a million watches or something?
32 million.
Yeah. Just
proving
that there are 32 million fuckwits out there.
Fuck, we ought to be doing shit on YouTube.
No.
You know, if he's getting that many views, imagine what we'd get.
It takes quite a while now to build an audience.
Yeah, but I'd end up sitting back like I do of an evening, getting really drunk, and then just having to put a shotgun in my mouth for all that money I'm making for nothing. Sorry, I like to put effort into things if I'm gonna make money for it. Well, I never really gave a fuck about making money on these shows, man. I know you put effort in. I've never put effort into any show. I just show up and talk shit for an hour.
I spent all day rebuilding a website, so I mean, I put some effort in at least.
Well, if you want to get paid, go right ahead, man.
Well, I don't know. The only problem with the YouTube stuff is there's like no appropriate video to go with this. Like, what do you want? A screen capture of me reading my notes?
You know, just stick some payday fucking footage in front of it.
That might actually work. Just, you know, us chalking and recording a game.
Yeah. Well, you just cut the sound out of the game that we're playing and just stick that there as something to watch in the background, at least.
Well,
or, you know,
the
pictures of kittens going past.
Actually,
as the stories get more and more dystopic and disgusting, you can get those hairless cats on there to just really bring home the pain and suffering of the depression that we're feeling, you know? And at the end, we could rate it with like a kitten score. And if it's a really good show, there'll be like 5 kittens on there. And if it's not, it's just a drowned bucket of kittens.
I'm giving it 2.5 little Agent Paranoia faces. Now, Anyways, there's a callback. What was yeah, I guess first story. I had a transition, but we went way past it, so cool. Anyways, this is from advocacy.globalvoicesonline.org. Belarus has moved to block all internet anonymizers in the country, including Tor. The country's communication ministry published a new decree that mandates, the country's communications ministry published a new decree that mandates how access to certain online resources should be limited by internet providers at the request of the state. Some of the limitations deal directly with anonymizing services. Internet users typically using anonymizing services to circumvent government censorship and reach online resources banned inside Belarus, including many of the opposition websites. So yeah, the opposing government to go to the opposing party's website, you need an anonymizer.
And people wonder why we don't like government regulations.
Tor statistics indicate that anywhere between 6,000 and 8,000 users in Belarus use Tor directly on a daily basis, with more coming through bridges. According to Anton Nesterov, a anti-censorship activist, in order to prevent access to Tor, officials will likely need to block the so-called guard nodes, the first nodes in the circuit through which a user would connect to route encrypted traffic further. They can just block torproject.org and stop there. But if they talk about blocking Tor, blocking nodes is what it means, says Nesterov. Russia has also been considering a ban on VPNs and anonymizers. At the start of February, Leonid Levin, an MP heading the Parliamentary Committee on Information Policy and Communication, suggested that access to anonymization and circumvention tools such as Tor, VPNs, and proxy servers needed to be restricted. So, there is a reason that's the first story tonight. I'll leave that to you guys to work out why.
I like it. I do. As the worse this shit gets, the better my skill trade comes involved. You know, the harder it is for citizens to move around freely or access stuff for free means it becomes a commodity. And that means black market. So yeah, I'm quite cool with that.
That's actually a really good point. I hadn't really thought about that.
But the worse everything gets locked down, the more it becomes commodity.
The commodity aspect of it. It's like,
dude, I'm gonna play the librarian the home game, man.
Well, fuck.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know. I know exactly what you mean.
as this shit gets locked down harder and harder, man, I'm gonna be the librarian the home game. This means everything becomes a commodity again. Remember when you used to be able to trade burnt DVDs for other resources, but now anybody can just stream shit?
Okay, to be fair, burnt DVDs only got me laid once.
Sorry, I missed that. They only got you something once?
Yeah. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if I cut out or if it was just you.
No, I had to use the cough button. No, man, it's like years and years and years ago. I was swapping, I was on the building site, and most of the older men there were like, hey, can you get me pornography? I hear it's all over the internet. What would you like, sir? And that'll be $15 a DVD. Or you can just repaint my car for me. Or I would like some very fine tobacco products. So it became a commodity back then. It'll become a commodity again. And I don't mind dealing in digital media.
Information is a very valuable commodity.
Mm-hmm. You know,
cool. You can sell the individuals for trade, and I'll sell the companies.
Dude, I'm gonna sell fucking dictionaries and shit again. Not dictionaries, history books, things like that, because they'll be so expensive online. It'll be a user pays system, and nobody will be able to access anything.
With all the DRM stripped out of it, absolutely.
Yeah, the new encyclopedia. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Everything that you'll ever need to know, the Uncle Are You book, and other things not to be a fuckwit about. You know, that'll be my DVD cover.
Just how not to be a fuckwit.
Yeah.
We need to make that t-shirt.
And if you want your media on USB, that's half price, because I'll just stick a shell on your computer as well while I'm at. But don't worry about that. But yeah, so I think this is great. Lock it all down. Make everything behind paywalls. Let's go. I need to make some money.
All right. Next story up is from ArsTechnica.com. Wednesday's hijacking of Lenovo.com domain name and interception of the company's email was pulled off. But in case anybody missed it, Lenovo.com was redirecting to some YouTube video on Wednesday. The Lizard Squad hacked Lenovo in retaliation for the malware. Was pulled off by first hacking Web Commerce Communications, the registrar that procured the Lenovo address, security journalist Brian Krebs reported. In a post published Wednesday night, Krebs on Security cited hackers Ryan King and Roy Andrew Godfrey as saying the compromise of the Malaysia-based registrar was carried out by members of the fame-seeking group The Lizard Squad. That's the same group connected to the Lenovo attack, since web links to the Twitter account belonging to Lizard Squad members were embedded in the spoofed Lenovo website. Krebs wrote, reached via instant message. Both King and Godfrey said the Lizard Squad used a command injection vulnerability in webinic.cc to upload a rootkit, a set of hacking tools that hides the intruder's presence on a compromised system and give the attackers persistent access to that system. WebinkCC is currently inaccessible. A woman who answered the phone of the company's technical operations center in Kuala Lumpur, I hope I said that right, acknowledged the outage, but said Webbing didn't have any additional information at this time. We're still in the investigation stage, said Ivan Sof, a WebNIC customer support technician. It appears the intruders were able to leverage their access at WebNIC-CC to alter the domain name system records for Google and Lenovo domains. Wait, Google's not registered? Interesting. Effectively giving them the ability to redirect the legitimate traffic away from the domains to other servers, including those under the attacker's control. The Lenovo.com hijacking was foiled in the early stages thanks to the vigilance of engineers at Cloudflare, a service that helps to improve the performance and security of websites. Armed with control over the Lenovo domain, the attackers transferred its registration to redirect to Cloudflare's name servers. The Cloudflare engineers spotted the abnormality and that's actually cool. I'll get into that in a second. And quickly returned control of the domain to its rightful owner. With the hijacking foiled, the attackers tweeted what appeared to be valid code that authorized the transfer of the domain from one registrar to another. So they said, fuck it, we can't do anything. Good luck. Yeah, anybody who's never had to move a domain around, when you're moving from one domain registrar to another, it'll generate a valid code. It's like one of those codes when you're registering an account on a website, and it's just a string of characters, but it verifies that you're the same person on both services or same company, or at least have access to that code. And so you can then use that to move a domain from one registrar to another. So they apparently just published the transfer code so that somebody else could try to grab it. That's funny. The attacker reportedly carried out a similar hijacking of a Google domain earlier this week. So what's kind of cool is that Cloudflare is taking a list of their customers. So in other words, they know what domains they should have, and they're actually watching to see if they're getting requests for domains they don't have. That's cool.
Nice.
Because that means they'll catch weird redirects like that.
Nice.
So... All right, next one up. This was just kind of funny. From Tripwire.com, Uber has disclosed that a database containing information on its drivers may have been compromised. The database contains names and driver's license numbers that was apparently accessed by an unauthorized third party on May 13th of 2014. Way to go on the speedy notification there, Uber.
I reckon.
The incident is still under investigation, and Uber has filed a John Doe lawsuit in a San Francisco federal court, a maneuver used when there are currently unknown persons being sued, in this case to help gather information to identify the attackers. Apparently, they were trying to get GitHub to give up some information. I didn't quite catch the details on why, but they thought that a GitHub request had something to do with their attack, and that's how they were trying to track it down. That's why they filed the John Doe lawsuit, is so that they can compel GitHub to give up some information.
What would GitHub be?
You can publish code on GitHub, right? So if the attacker broke into your system and then did a GET request to get the tool set on your servers, you might be able to use that. But I don't have enough details to give a good answer. That's kind of a speculative answer.
Yeah, it's a long way around.
Well, I don't know. I could see that if you had a very specific tool you wanted on there. But at the same time, a lot of open source tools are published on GitHub, so it could just be an easy way to download it on the system quickly. Uber is reaching out to the affected drivers, offering free identity protection services, and encouraging them to monitor credit reports for fraud. A little late there, GitHub, or Uber. It's like, they should have been monitoring for fraud a few months ago. Like, yeah, it's nearly a year later, but you might want to watch out for that.
At least it's reported. Doesn't matter if it's reported.
Yeah, there's a little bit of truth in that. Kind of, I mean, you think about it. Think about what kind of situation you are already in if you're an Uber driver. That means you've probably had another job and lost it, and that's how you're making your car payments, being a taxi cab driver. I'm not dissing all Uber drivers, but I just imagine that situation is probably, it's like, well, I've nothing better to do. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But
keep going.
Yeah. Next one up is from torrentfreak.com. After coming under intense pressure, PayPal has closed the account of cloud storage service Mega. According to the company, SOPA proponent Senator Patrick Leahy personally pressured Visa and MasterCard, who in turn called on PayPal, to terminate the account. Bizarrely, Mega's encryption is cited as the key problem. Yeah, that's the official reason PayPal gave, is that Mega encrypts their files.
Okay.
Like, what does that have to do with anything? During September 2014, the Digital Citizens Alliance and NetNames teamed up to publish a brand new report titled Behind the CyberLocker Door, report how shadowy CyberLockers use credit card companies to make millions. It offered insight into the finances of some of the world's most popular CyberLocker sites. The report had its issues, however, while many of the sites covered might at best be considered dubious. The inclusion of Mega.co.nz, the most scrutinized file hosting startup in history, was a real head-scratcher. Mega conforms with all relevant laws and responds quickly whenever content owners need something removed. By any standard, the company lives up to the requirements of the DMCA. We consider the report grossly untrue and highly defamatory of Mega, Mega CEO Graham Gaylord told Torrent Freak at the time. But just now, 5 months on, Mega's inclusion in the report has come back to bite the company in a big way. Speaking via email to Torrent Freak this morning, Gaylord highlighted the company's company's latest battle, one which has seen the company become unable to process payments from its customers. It's all connected with the NetNames report and is even seen the direct involvement of a U.S. politician. According to Mega, following the publication of the report last September, SOPA and PIPA proponent Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont's chair Senate Judiciary Committee put Visa and MasterCard under pressure to stop providing payment services to rogue companies listed on the NetNames report. Following Leahy's intervention, Visa and MasterCard then pressured PayPal to cease providing payment information. As a result, Mega is no longer able to process payments. It's disappointing, to say the least. So, yeah, PayPal cited the encryption as an issue because they had to give some reason, but everybody thinks it's really because Visa and MasterCard were telling them not to do business with Mega. So
that was probably due to the American government pressuring them not to work with them.
The weird thing is Mega's not even that good of a cyber locker. They're a pain in the ass to use.
They are now because they comply like fuck on everything, man.
And they still get reamed up the ass. I know. It's more just they're just targeted at this point.
Yeah. Kim.com really embarrassed the American and New Zealand government in that whole fiasco.
Yeah, how dare you defend yourself when they don't do it right?
Yeah. We all know what happened there, but he's still getting back pressure from that.
Yeah, he just embarrassed too many people, so now he's going to be destroyed.
Yep.
Anything attached to the name Mega is going to be just torn down.
Oh, no doubt, man.
Everybody noticed there hasn't been a new Mega Man game in years? Just saying?
Thanks, FCC. Thanks, Obama.
Bad joke, I know.
Yeah, I know. It's a good one, though.
I was thinking the same line you just said at first.
Bring back Mega Man.
All right. Let's see. Where that was the Torrent Freak story. Okay. From ArsTechnica.com. In an about face due to widespread pressure from the blogosphere. I don't like that word. Something
kill
about
yourself.
That word bothers me.
Yes.
Google said Friday that it is rescinding its move to bar sexually explicit content on its free blogging platform, Blogger. Google announced Tuesday that starting March 23rd, bloggers using its platform would no longer be permitted to share images or publicly share images and video that are sexually explicit or show graphic nudity on Blogger. But after a ton of feedback, and that's in quotes, but a ton of feedback prompted Google to alter course. This week, we announced a change to Blogger's porn policy. Jessica Pelego, Google's social product and support manager, wrote in the Blogger Help Forum. We've had a ton of feedback, in particular about the introduction of a retroactive change. Some people have had accounts for 10 years, but also about the negative impact on individuals who post sexually explicit content to express their identities. Okay. So rather than implementing this change, we decided to step up enforcement around our existing policy prohibiting commercial porn. So it's okay as long as you don't charge for it. Google is asking bloggers to tag pages containing pornography so that an adult content warning comes up when the page is accessed. In 2013, Google barred ads with adult content on the Blogger platform. So, yeah, Google is, in fact, not going to be banning porn on Blogger. I guess this is because they don't want to completely shut Blogger down for everybody going over to Tumblr.
I read an article this morning. Tumblr wanted to, in inverted commas, grow up its brand image.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I know.
Yeah.
Your user base won't let you do that. Have you seen some of the shit on Tumblr? I mean, it's, you know, the only thing that's worse is fanfiction.net, but not by much.
So, not by much.
I'm just saying.
Maybe you made me puke in my mouth a little bit.
What, don't you like reading stories that looks like the person just hit their head on their keyboard repeatedly?
Well, you know, I could be honest or I can be polite. Pick one. I mean,
I personally prefer honest.
Me too.
Oh, we're being honest. Can someone burn that thing to the fucking ground?
Tumblr or fanfiction.net?
Both.
I need a lot of gasoline.
Actually, no, don't do it to Tumblr. We need somewhere for the rats to go from the ship.
Well, are you?
Yeah,
you
that's
see...
called the water.
Well, you see, the trick in that is you start the fire around it, then have it go inwards.
We nuke it from space. It's the only way to be sure.
You thought this through. Okay. Next story up, and this one's great, from WJCL.com. In Beaufort, South Carolina, Beaufort police hope to offer their or hope an offer of their police department could protect locals attempting to make internet purchases. On Tuesday, the department posted on social media what officials are making a personal invitation to anyone wanting to use their facility as a safe location to complete a Craigslist transaction. So the police are saying it's okay to use the police department lobby to do Craigslist transactions. This comes after multiple Craigslist-related deaths and robberies in Southeast and locally. Many of these were transactions between strangers in non-public locations. In light of at least two fatal incidents involving online sales, in Georgia recently, officials are reminding the public to make sure that they pick a location to pick a public location to exchange money. police are giving advice on drug deals. I love this. For residents and in and around the city of Beaufort, department officials hope to see more of those transactions at their location. Officials said in a social media post that they are allowing public use of the lobby of their station location located at 1901 Boundary Street in Beaufort during business hours between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. While employees of the department can't witness or sign legal documents, may mediate or give legal advice related to a transaction, the location is monitored by video surveillance. So how's that any different than a Walmart parking lot? I just want to ask.
It's like nobody there's going to help someone you, in but a there's police a camera station.
On it. Yeah. Say,
it's a lot harder to rape someone for a prolonged time in a police station, but a Walmart car park at 2 in the morning, you'd be surprised how many people are not watching those cameras.
Officer, I'd like to file a complaint. That's not a woman.
I just can't believe it. They're going to get the 3 a.m. two dudes in horse heads swapping My Little Pony fucking fan fiction. Go.
It's like, that's the really good shit. The cover's drawn in crayon.
Yeah, and it's moist on one crayon, side. Maps.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Oh, God.
Yeah. Like, you're just going to see these two dudes walk in the police station, nod to each other, swap car keys, and then fucking drive back out again. That's going to bake the cops, man. You know what I mean?
I just can't wait till, the first drug deal is, the first open drug deal where the police said we could do it here, man. I don't get it.
They said
they
won't intervene. They won't intervene, man.
Actually, as much as I'm making fun of this, it's actually kind of cool that they're coming out and saying, if you've got to deal with shady shit, you can at least do it in front of the cops. Because, I don't know, if you're going on the Craigslist to buy some used piece of junk, You do kind of want a place where you're not just going to have some, show up with $500 to buy a motorcycle and instead you get shanked and, left to bleed out in the parking lot, right?
Parkers have no fun. Where's your imagination? When I buy off Craigslist, it's like a roulette game. I like to make the meet in a dark alley, preferably in the AM. It just makes the game a lot more fun.
Well, for us, sure, but I can imagine some of the more mundane types might actually enjoy that. So, but
very good civic responsibility by the cops, acknowledging that there is a large issue in the community and trying to get. They're doing essentially what they're there to do: keep the community safe.
I think it's cool that they're at least acknowledging that this shit goes on, right?
Yeah, we're making fun of it, but at the end of the day, the cops are actually doing what they're meant to be doing: keeping the community safe. I keep cutting you off.
Go ahead, BSV.
Pretty much covered what I was going to say. It's just, actually allowing people that are weary of the person they're doing the trade with a place they know they... But at least if they do get shanked or shot, that there'll be a really quick response time. At least I would hope there would be a response. Quick response time in the lobby.
I would actually hope that if you're going into the police station, a lot of times you have to go through a metal detector. So I'm kind of hoping that helps a little bit with the parking lot shankings.
Also, too, if you do get shanked, you get a high definition copy of your shanking to take
on
home.
Camera.
Yep.
So speaking of police, actually doing something kind of cool. This is from The Verge. At the end of last year, the Obama administration pledged $263 million in federal funding for police training and body cameras. Since then, cities around the country, from New York to L.A., have been testing body cameras on the police or in their police forces. But we've yet to see any of that body camera footage actually looks like until now. Seattle's police department recently launched a YouTube channel to store its force's body camera footage for the public to view. The channel, SPD Body Worn Video, features very hazy videos shot by on-duty police. Most of the videos look like that moment in movies when somebody's been knocked out slowly regains consciousness. The blurriness is meant to hide the identity. Okay, so they're fuzzing the videos. Is to hide the identities of people caught on tape. Last year, the police department recruited hacker Timothy Clemens to create a to create software that would redact images and eliminate sound from the body camera footage, the Seattle Times reports. According to SPD Blotter, Clemens' software allows the department to redact more than 4 hours of footage in just half a day, whereas the old method required days of work. Yeah, because they would have had to go through and edit all that video. The Seattle Times says that the police department hopes to make the tools available to other cities for free in the near future. So what they've done is they've got somebody who's put together this toolkit for them that kind of fuzzes up the video and, you know, messes with it, for lack of a better term, in an automated fashion, so that they can just then publish it straight to YouTube, which also means it's probably not getting a lot of review before it goes up.
Yeah.
Right. I'd imagine somebody's watching some of it, but I don't know. I mean, I doubt they're publishing every body cam video. They're probably just publishing a handful to show that they're using them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wouldn't be anything really on there related to any crimes yet. I'd say most of them are still being prosecuted through court, and they would only go up there after the prosecution's been.
Yeah.
The person's found guilty.
It would be kind of cool if they just built the system to automatically upload the videos without redacting or anything like that.
Have it. Twitch, something similar to Twitch,
sure,
but for police officers.
Well, why not? That way civic-minded people could actually watch what the cops are doing.
Dude, do you know how many channels a day that would be?
That's true.
Every cop in just say America alone, wearing a body cam, having their own channel. Dude, you have just figured out how to end unemployment in America. Do you know how many fucking admins we're going to need for this? You know, tech call out guys to start with, like, you know, tech support. The amount of cops ringing in, like, it's fucked. Have you tried turning on and off? Oh, fuck. Click, click. Oh, it's working. Thank you. Right. Like, Twitch would need a gajillion fucking servers to start with.
Hey, why not?
Dude, call Obama now. Tell him you've solved it. And you've solved this whole Ferguson civil issue thing. Done.
And just imagine the revenue from ads.
There you go, you know.
Hey, we can cut taxes too, yeah.
It'll be great. The only thing is going to be a lack of 65, 75-year-old men pushing trolleys in the Walmart car park at 2 in the morning. Right? And door greeters are going to have to be 15, 16 again.
Well, at least they can stop raiding the senior citizen centers for door greeters.
Yep. That's a national fucking embarrassment, by the way. Sorry. Having 65, 70-year-old seniors still working in car parks because their pensions all got fucked over. Anyway, I digress. But yeah,
That's not unique to you guys, if that's what you're talking about.
No, that's unique to you guys. I ain't got that shit, man. Trolley boys, though? Man. No, man, we have trolley boys and fucking, we didn't even have greeters. Like, if you had someone there going, hello, sir, they're probably likely to hear, fuck off.
Hear that anyways.
You know,
they've gotten rid of most of the door greeters, but there's still quite a few working, bagging, and, you know.
I didn't last too long as a door greeter, man. Boy, cunt. Sup, cunt. I don't like that after a while.
Well, especially when you're talking to 10-year-olds, but
yeah, I know. Yeah, it shouldn't have been at a pumpkin patch fashion accessories for children.
All right, last story I have up for tonight is from the local.ch. The new 1.55-millimeter thick contact lenses contain an extremely thin reflective telescope, which is activated by winks.
What?
What? This is a set of contact lenses and glasses that figure out when you're winking versus when you're blinking, and then activate.
Oh, so one eye closed, one open, sort of thing.
And it'll activate a set of telescopes built into the contact lenses.
That is fucking cool. My dick looks like bigger already.
First released in 2013 and fine-tuned since then, the prototype was unveiled by Eric Tremblay of the Ecole Polytechnique. Federal, something in Switzerland. I'm sorry, I don't know.
German learning place.
at the American Association for Advancement of Science annual meeting in California on Friday. The lenses come with smart glasses that respond to the wearer's winks, but not blinks, so that the user can switch almost effortlessly from normal to magnified vision and back. The wearer winks with the right eye to activate the telescope and then with the left eye to deactivate it. We think these lenses hold a lot of promise for low vision and age-related macular degeneration, and I can't even talk tonight, and a vision disorder that affects older people, Tremblay said. At this point, this is still research, but we hope it'll eventually become a real option for people with AMD. The device magnifies objects 2.8 times, meaning AMD patients can read more easily and better recognize faces and objects with its help. So it's not like binoculars, but it's, you know, 2.8 times is
still
pretty decent. I mean, it's not magnifying glass levels, but I mean, that's like, you know, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in,
enhance. Oh God, no, too much enhancement.
Funded by the Pentagon.
This is great.
Of course, all these old people, you're going to think all these old people are flirting with you. They're just trying to see what you look like.
Grandma, stop doing that. You're creeping me out.
Here it is. Funded by the Pentagon's main research arm, DARPA, the lenses were originally meant to serve as a form of bionic vision for soldiers. Small mirrors within bounce light around, expanding the perceived size of objects and magnifying the view, so it's like looking through low magnification binoculars, the researchers said in a statement. Still,
You add that with a scope, you've just put a little bit more magnification in that scope.
That's where they started.
Yeah. So this is a military application first?
Well, that's where they started with military application, but then they decided it would be more useful for people who need really strong reading glasses and shit like that.
That is cool, man. See, out of war breeds good shit.
I just thought it was a badass concept. You know,
damn right,
wait,
man.
And then zoom in. I mean, fuck.
And again, it's just the start, so that 2.8 times can...
Yeah.
I mean, this is great shit. My father-in-law would have really loved this shit as he was going blind.
Trying to have less depressing stories, so.
I like that one. Congratulations. Get 5 out of 10.
Emergency.
Yeah,
emergency. Emergency.
Oh, cool. I think it qualifies as a less depressing show. I haven't started on my second beer yet.
I had to get one.
All right. I've got two things for Digital Dojo tonight. First one is from ehacking.net. RIPS is a tool written in PHP to find vulnerabilities in PHP applications using static code analysis. By tokenizing and parsing all source code files, RIPS is able to transform PHP source code into a program model and detect sensitive syncs, potentially vulnerable functions, and can be tainted by user input influenced by a malicious user during the program flow. Besides the structured output of found vulnerabilities, RIPS also offers integrated code audit framework and further manual analysis. So what this thing is it's a application you can install on a web server and then use it to audit your PHP applications. I'm actually going to be using this to do some testing on the G15 site as I put it together. But it's for auditing web code to try to fix some of the problems in it. And I think that's awesome because right now websites are comically easy to break into.
Wrecking my illusions.
You mean those stories we just went over not too long ago weren't wrecking your illusions?
I like to do a lot of recreational drugs to impair my memory so that the world looks a lot nicer. I have trouble communicating with people.
Nice. So, but yeah, if you don't understand why this is important, this is the ability to take your code, shove it into something, and see if you're going to have security issues down the line. It's not perfect. You still need to kind of have an idea of what you're doing, but it's a start.
It's a lot better than what we're doing now anyway.
Right, most people do, where they just kind of hammer it out the moment it works. And
It works.
Yeah, that's literally it. It's like, it works, next. So, all right. And then the last thing I have for tonight in Digital Dojo is a link to a game we've been playing the crap out of lately. It's called Zonotic, X-O-N-O-T-I-C.
We're getting paid by these people, man.
Yes. We're getting paid by the open source game. it's free, first-person shooters, stupid fast, built on the Dark Places engine. So it's actually based on Quake 1, of all things. But it is a lot of fun. So I'll at least point out the link to anybody listening. That's it. That's actually all I have for tonight. So
that's new.
Yeah, I thought I'd try to close that Digital Dojo. So anyways, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Put quite a bit of work in on the website today, on the beta site. So I do want feedback on that. If anybody has any ideas, things they see need fixed, whatever. Pure Decking every Saturday. Laura has a show on Tuesdays, I believe. Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit. Actually, I don't know that the Twitter handle even still works, truthfully. I haven't looked at that thing in a long time. So at least the IRC channel and the subreddit, those are worth using. And the feedback forum. Feedback forum still works. I need to build a new one. That said, that's all I got. Anybody else have anything they want to drop before we close this thing out?
Really?